What makes your Mary Magdalene different to your garden variety Easter film?
Well, first of all, what struck me when I read the script and what I realised doing more research is that the Mary Magdalene that most people know as a prostitute is basically not a truth. It's an invention by Pope Gregory in the year 591. So I was kind of staggered that Mary's true story hadn't been told. So in fact, the Mary Magdalene in our film is someone who is, we acknowledge, as an apostle and as one of the great co-pilots, companions to Jesus and his ministry and his journey. And for me, it was just a very timely film. It was a story that celebrated unconditional love and that true God and our access to our spirituality is within us. It's not in a building, it's not in a person, it's not in some sort of revolution. And I think that's something that really inspired me.
Would you describe yourself as a religious or a spiritual person?
I really have a fascination in all different types of faith. I completely respect people that follow faith or have a particular religion. I think it's an area that I'm fascinated in, but I would suggest that I'm more a spiritual person.
Now, Mary Magdalene does take a fairly non-traditional approach to the story of Jesus. Were you worried about the reaction of Christians to this film?
You're always nervous about the reaction that you may get, but to be honest, I just felt that the themes of unconditional love are pretty hard to be controversial. And in fact, we're celebrating that in such a way that's beautiful and immersive that I felt deep down, well, if this offends people, then it's going to offend those people, isn't it?
There has been some criticism of biblical films of late where Western actors have been cast in major roles, and you've chosen to go down that path with Rooney Mara and Joaquin Phoenix. Why did you choose to do that?
Well, the most important thing for me was to bring about the most emotionally compelling characters, and the qualities that Mary Magdalene and Jesus have are very unique and kind of complicated to perform. So Mary, for example, I really needed to exude this atmosphere, this sense of her having this spiritual calling. And that's a very hard thing to find in an actress. I'd worked with Rooney online and she has this otherworldliness. I mean, she's very unique in her ability to take the audience in the silences into a very believable place. So for me, she was just the actress that could bring to life Mary the most. Then I had to find her soulmate in many ways. And for me, it was Joaquin Phoenix, because I think he has an acute sensibility, a sensitivity and empathy. You know, I just thought that it was so unique and he could bring to life the Jesus that I was hoping to bring to life.
Mary Magdalene's presence at the crucifixion and the first person to see Jesus after the resurrection isn't really disputed in biblical texts. But why do you think it has taken so long for her to get her story told?
Well, I think that's what the whole world's dealing with right now. Like, I think women's stories are not being told and they're not free to explore their own spirituality and emotional destinies. I don't know why. Patriarchy, I suppose. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think it's just astonishing that it's taken 2,000 years to tell this story. I often get asked the question, do you think this is going to be a controversial thing? And I go, well, it's more controversial that she hasn't had her story told, in my opinion.
And what about telling the story as a male director?
Well, exactly. I mean, that's, you know, another criticism that I thought I might find. But I don't know, I've always been fascinated in working together with women. And I think that this film is about a man and a woman working together in a way that is very profound. And I think if, as a man, if I can help bring women's stories out, I think that's a positive thing.
Getting back to historical times, do you think it really would have been possible for a woman in those times to tag along with a bunch of blokes?
Yes, I believe so. It would have taken a lot of courage and a lot of risk. So I think Mary was an incredibly powerful and courageous person to have left her family to follow her calling to God. Obviously, she felt that very strongly.
There was one question regarding the relationship between Jesus and Mary. Well, Last Temptation of Christ, for example, suggested that they might have had a sexual relationship. Dan Brown thinks they got married. Was it tempting to go in that direction?
Well, I think one thing that the writer was very concerned about was that, you know, like, she's always been known as a prostitute, so why should the other dialogue be a lover? So the woman always been seen in a sexual role, and I think that's a good point. And we just wanted to celebrate her as a strong spiritual figure in her own right and not to be sexualized. So if we got into a physical relationship, then that would just consume all of the conversation in some way. So I think that was the point of it, really, is just to focus on it. And there was nothing in the Gospels that suggested that.
Another interesting aspect of the film for me was the portrayals of Judas and Peter. You know, it surprised me when finally we hear Judas's name mentioned. Oh, that's Judas. And then Peter, as kind of a misogynist bully,
First of all, the writer wanted to make sure that all the characters acted from a place of love. And I think that's what's very unique about the film. So even with Judas, his portrayal of Jesus wasn't just for commerce. It was literally because he felt it would trigger Jesus into some sort of mystical coming of the kingdom and bring his family back. So he was only doing it from a place of love and a bit of naivety, I suppose. So I think that's fantastic. And also it allows Mary's forgiveness of him to be very powerful for the message of the movie. In terms of Peter, I think Peter is a great leader and he's a great activist. And I think he really wants the world to be a better place and he has a lot of love. I just think he's kind of spiritually detached in some ways. And I think that's very true of today. And I think in the film, when Mary and Peter come together, we kind of see a beautiful combination and what could have been an amazing future. These two working together could have been very exciting, but it wasn't the case.
Will non-believers or non-Christians get something out of this film?
Absolutely. I think this film can cross over. The fact that I'm not religious is proof of that because of my commitment to making it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a very relevant message. And there's actually a contemporary figure that really inspired me that I connected to this was Malala and how she forgave the Taliban for what they did to her and also how she thanked her father for treating her as a person, not as a woman. And that really inspired me. And I thought, wow, just for the world could be full of that, it would be fantastic. So when I read this script, I saw a lot of similarities in there. But also I think just the fact that a lot of people are looking for someone to save them all the time, you know, like a lot of movies these days, there's always superheroes and people are saving us and we're not being confronted or challenged in many ways. So I think what's beautiful about this film is it's actually saying, look, we all have the ability to be spiritually enlightened. We all have the ability to be better people, but it's in us. The power is within us. And I love that message.